Good evening again. How are you? I asked you that already. again, welcome, especially for those of you who just came in. So glad you're here. Our talk for tonight is Beyond Time. And we are completing, this completes our first month of the Wednesday services. And so thanks so much for being a part of that. It's been really quite wonderful. And for me anyway, and I hope it's been wonderful for you. I should probably talk to the people who aren't here. But, you know, our overall theme has been inspiration, talks on high truth and real living. And I just want to share that through this month, I've really been reaching to speak about things that are new for me to talk about. I think I'm always trying to push the envelope a little bit. Because isn't that what spiritual growth is all about? You know, to keep pressing into and pressing beyond what it is that we already know into a deeper understanding of God, and then to make it really practical, because that's the beauty of spiritual living, is that we can embrace really high truths, but then also live them. That's what spiritual living is all about. And, you know, there's an expression that has to do with car tires, you know, a metaphor of car tires. It's where the rubber meets the road. And, you know, and what that means is that it's an expression about where theory becomes practice, or where we prove what it is that we seek to know. And our daily life, and the spiritual version of that is where spiritual ideas come into our daily living. And our daily life is, if you choose it to be, your daily life, if you choose it to be, can be the place of the most profound spiritual practice. In fact, I don't know where you would do spiritual practice except in your daily life, because where else is there, actually? but, you know, it's right in our daily life that everything that challenges our ability to live spiritually comes up. Or is that only true for me? You know, it's in daily life that we meet up with the people that we call our temptations, the ones who tempt us to not love them. I'll let that sink for a sec. And it's in our daily life that we meet up with all of the circumstances that are troubling to us, as well as wonderful, and all of those situations that feel greater than we are. And so it's right in the friction of all of that that we actually begin to prove the spiritual truth that we know. And every single thing is grist for the mill of your awakening. Every single thing is grist for the mill of awakening. And it is in daily life that you have the opportunity to come to know your divine identity and to get free, and to become free. And I mean free with a capital F, like quality of God free. You know, the freedom to really live and to express. And so we've been tapping into all of those levels, I think, this last month. We have a teaching symbol at Centers for Spiritual Living. Many of you are familiar with this. It's a big circle. It's not the G up there. Oh, it's hidden. It's a big circle with a V. And if you're not familiar with it, the openness of the V like reaches up to the cosmos or to the infinite presence of God. And the point comes right down into the center of your being, each one of us. And the point comes right down into the center of everything that is in creation. And so it's our understanding that spirit becomes form. And it's not like there are two things, that there's spirit and there's form. It's a huge, long, infinite, continuum, by which spirit becomes form. And this is an important teaching for us because it means behind everything that we see and everything that we experience that feels so earth plane and everything that that's about, what stands behind that is the invisible infinite. And there is a shift in how we experience our lives when we actually open up our awareness to realize that behind everything that looks so very different and separate and challenging sometimes, is the shining face of the One, the shining reality of the One. The creative power of thought is taught here expertly by Reverend Kevin and Reverend Sarah and all of your practitioners and all of your teachers. And they teach you that no matter what's going on, we have the opportunity to turn our attention, to shift our focus, to stop seeing just with physical eyes that see separation, but to start seeing through the third eye, or the one eye, that perceives the oneness of things, and to move beyond the current experience of our reality and to remember that realm of infinite possibility. And the creative power of thought is all about lifting your thoughts above what is currently exists to embrace something greater. Ernest Holmes would say, turn away from appearances and know a greater truth. And anything that could be already exists in the infinite possibility. And yet we can lift our thoughts to embrace a greater good than we've experienced before and start to welcome that into our lives. In fact, that's in fact how it happens, that we lift our thoughts above what we currently have and start to embrace something greater than what we know. And so I want to open up a door of awareness tonight about all of this, which was review for many of you. It's always good to have review. But to really open up a door of awareness around divine reality, particularly in terms of time. And that's why the talk tonight is called Beyond Time. And just as the invisible becomes bound in form, you could say, that the invisible becomes bound in form and takes on form, so it is that the eternal moment, or the infinite eternal, becomes bound in time. And just like there are little infinite finite forms and a myriad of them by which spirit becomes expressed, so there are little tiny, what Rumi calls the houses of time, little tiny bits of time that the infinite eternal expresses in. Does that make sense, the way I'm expressing that? Okay. Just say yes. Thank you. But we are people bound in time. We are people bound in time. I was on a schedule today to get here, so were you. I am watching the clock to see at what time I need to complete. You know, we are run by time on this earth plane in so many ways. I had a great aha today, though, because I'm a person who in the past used to have the high practice of being late a lot. And I realized, and I think that's a way that we're trying to cheat time, but actually it binds us in time. Because there's nothing worse than being late, because all you can do is think about time. So we're not free of time at all in that practice, and I've been resolutely seeking to be early. That's where the timeless moment is actually in being early. It's so amazing. Give it a try. So we have schedules, we have histories. We know what happened when, and we tend to define ourselves by what happened when or didn't happen when it was supposed to. We have histories. And we have memories, and we're so interesting. We can take something that's been over a long time ago and bring it right into the present moment, reviewing conversations, relationships, like digging up the bones all over again, over and over and over again. I saw something on Facebook the other day that I tried to find again, and I couldn't find it, so I might have made it up, but I don't think so. And it said, the only reason why something is still, and I think it was why the past is still present in your life, is because you keep thinking about it. The only reason why the past is still present in your life is because you keep thinking about it. Interesting. So I'd like to make a distinction between the present moment and the eternal moment, and I invite you just to breathe with this, because a lot of this is theory, but it's going to get personal. So just wait for that part. But the present moment is the place where the future becomes the past. Can you feel that? The present moment is the place where the future becomes the past. So in a way, the present moment doesn't exist at all. And yet we have lots of spiritual teachings say, be in the present moment or be here now, as Ram Dass said, be here now. So which now is that? Is that the now that's now that now it was, you know? Which now is that? Be here now and now and now and now, and that's good. We know what it means. It means full. I think the real saying is be fully present in all the sequences of the moments, you know, as they go by, which means what? Be awake and aware and present with what's going on. But what we call the present is really our most recent experience of the past. Yeah? We call the present, which is now, but now's the past. It's just our most recent experience of what just became the past. I don't know what to do with that, but it's interesting. If I'm messing up your mind, I'm trying to. But so the present moment doesn't really exist. It is not ever really there. And yet there is an eternal moment. There is a reality that can be experienced at the point of time we call the present, that is the eternal moment that is infinite. And if the present is never really there, the eternal moment is always there. The eternal moment is always there, even if we're not aware of it. And I don't think it feels like time at all. It feels like isness or being. It doesn't feel like time. It feels like being to me. But the most important thing to understand here, I think, is that the awareness of the eternal moment is the experience of love. And I offered a definition of love last week, which is love is the awareness of oneness. Love with a capital L is the awareness of oneness. And so it is in the eternal moment that we have, that the eternal moment is the experience of love, because if you can actually slip into the eternal moment, all there is the awareness of oneness. I've had a couple of really wonderful experiences, I've shared about them in the past, of what would be called unitive experiences are really just slipping into the eternal moment, and I bet you have too. One was on a long highway driving through Palm Springs, or out in the desert, when I was in high school. And it felt like time would just go on forever, that something would just abide forever. There was something about existence that I tapped into. One was in the forest of Big Sur, and one was walking through Louisiana, of all places. There's something about humidity that helps me go into the eternal moment. But it is the awareness of oneness that we could also call love that is available anytime we slip into the eternal moment. Anytime we move beyond time into that which that runs under time that isn't time. Hard to say. And so love is a dimension beyond time. And you know, if time is the fourth dimension, then love is the fifth dimension. That's what that group was singing about, the fifth dimension, yeah. And you know, I've spoken here before, it's been a couple of years, about the formulation of the 2012 change that I like the best, is that, it's like my story and I'm sticking to it, you know, is that there's a huge spiral of time and story that is completing. And there's another huge spiral of time and a new story, or Earth's herstory, that is beginning. I've offended men before by saying that, but anyway, that's how it was shared with me. So you guys are included in that too. But there's a huge spiral completing and a huge spiral beginning, and it's true. We are completing the last 5,000 years of a 25,000-year cycle. It's really happening. You are there. It's happening. And one way to speak about this change is that we're changing frequency and vibration, and we're moving into the fifth dimension, which is the awareness of oneness. And more, I think we are becoming aware of oneness, as divided and separated as things can be. We can instantaneously hear about a dreadful massacre in Syria. You know, and I'm watching that news because I was in that country, and it just breaks my heart to hear all of that. We are instantaneously hooked up to what is happening. That's oneness. It's an amazing kind of thing. It's amazing. And I think within ourselves, too, more and more, we're moving to that place where we feel the truth of oneness, especially the spiritual work that we're trying to do. Because there's only one problem, and it's separation, and there's only one truth, and it's unity. You know, and so that's the only place to go, is into the one, as far as I can see it. But beyond all that, time is where our suffering is. The present moment is where our suffering is. And by suffering, I mean that feeling of dis-ease or having a problem with something or not feeling quite right or whatever it might be. It's in the present moment that we have that experience. It's where we experience duality, where we experience light and dark and all of the metaphors of those words. It's where we experience good and not good. It's where we experience right and wrong, or right and not right. And yet the eternal moment is filled with peace and joy if we could just go there. If we could spend more time in the eternal moment underneath the flow of time, we would be in the realm of peace and joy a lot more readily. Just slipping in to that place. So how do we transcend one? How do we transcend the present moment and go more into the eternal moment, if you like that idea? Thank you. So do I. And first of all, we have to believe that the eternal moment exists. And I think it's something we have to feel for and just notice those times when we do kind of slip into a timeless space that feels like eternity, that feels, and I don't mean like that eternity like you wish it would be over with, that eternity that feels like, wow, life abides, life carries on, life is. So we have to feel into that and know that that exists, and then also seek to speak about it. It helps us if we actually invoke the presence of that. And if we move into that space of the awareness of oneness and say, this awareness of oneness I can call love, and I can also call it the eternal moment. You know, all of our practice, our meditation practice, to come into the oneness with spirit, it is to get into that timeless moment. And I bet you've had that experience of just isness in that moment. But the second thing that we need to do is to release what binds us to time. And what binds us to time are three wonderful things that aren't so wonderful always. Our regrets, our resentments, and our remorse. Take a breath. Here's where it gets personal. I remember taking the S training ever so long ago, and there was a whole segment on regrets and resentment. So remorse has been added in here. But regret is the sadness we feel when we do something that turns out badly for someone, right? When we have a regret, we feel sad. And we feel sad because something we did turned out badly for someone, and so we regret it. Our resentments are the anger we feel when it appears like someone has done something to us that turned out badly for us. A resentment is the anger we feel, whether it's overt or covert anger that we feel when somebody has done something or maybe not done something that turned out badly for us. And our remorse is the shame we feel when we've done something that seems to have turned out badly for someone else. Our remorse is the shame we feel when we have done something that seems to have turned out badly for someone else. Did that make sense? So our regrets, our resentments, and remorse. Here's the aha. It takes time for anything to turn out badly. Time has to be in the mix for something to turn out badly. So you know that if you're feeling a regret or a resentment or any remorse, that you're bound in time, that you have missed the eternal moment, and you're definitely not in the state called love. That's a good sign for that. Know that whatever you did and whatever someone else did, didn't it seem like a good idea at the time? I have regretted many things. I did not set out to have a regret. I did not set out to have a regret when I did something that I regretted later on, unless I knew that it was going to have the impact that I can think about saying something, and I have in the past done it quite on purpose. But it's to understand that we can undo the effects of time by moving into the timeless. And we can move beyond our regrets, because how useful is it to stay in a state of regret? We can move beyond resentments, because how useful is that? And we can move beyond remorse, because how useful is that? You know, after some time spent in those stages and getting the most of what you got out of them, of what good are they? Because they're just all bound in time and holding on to the past. So take a breath. But we have the ability to introduce love into the world of space and time. And how love comes into time is through, first of all, the act of forgiveness. Notice it said act of forgiveness, not idea of forgiveness or concept of forgiveness or the thought maybe someday I'll forgive. What actually introduces love into time is the act and the activity of forgiveness. It is to be active in the practice of forgiveness. And then the second, if that wasn't difficult enough, the second thing is to persist in the activity of forgiveness until it turns into gratitude. Now that might be really hard to imagine. It might be really hard to imagine just forgiving. And I know you as a group have done tremendous work recently with Reverend Kevin on forgiveness. I don't know what persists for you around forgiveness. But there is a place where we can forgive so fully and completely that turns into gratitude, because in the forgiving, we start to see the grand enactment of it all. And if there's somebody that you're not forgiving, they might be somewhere not forgiving you, which means there really was a grand enactment somewhere in all of this. There is a saying that time heals all wounds eventually, but then there's the truth that love heals all wounds immediately. Love heals all wounds immediately because it takes you into the awareness of oneness that is always healing. And I would ask you, do you want to be right or do you want to be healed? Thank you. Me too. Do you want to be a victim? Do you want to be healed? We really make this choice all the time, don't we? Which one will it be? You know, the Course in Miracles says, do we offer our brother the crown of thorns or the lilies of forgiveness? You know, which one will it be? Will we see the grand enactment of it all and how whatever it was that took place shaped us into being who we are, and who we are is pretty darn good. It was exactly the friction. It was exactly the grist for the mill of awakening that was necessary. I want to share with you a little bit about my mom. Many of you know that I walked through 6 years of her dementia. And being an only child, her care fell to me. And I didn't have her live with me. I tried it for 2 months. It was really impossible with the job that I was doing. And have I shared this on a Wednesday already? Okay, good. Thank you. I don't like to be that repetitive. It came up for me. I just went over this, all of this for Mother's Day, of course. There's the review, you know, that goes on. But my mom was never easy for me. We're very different types. She's a fiery Aries, and I'm a Scorpio. But we both had Mars in common, if you know astrology at all. We both had Mars, so there was this energy that would go on between us. And I know that she did absolutely the best that she could. I know that she wanted absolutely the best for me. And with the form being slightly different, I think I have turned into her highest aspiration for me, which is a lovely thing. But needless to say, there were all kinds of stories about that I could tell about my relationship with her and what didn't work and what was difficult for me, because criticism was her primary mode of education, and that was not difficult for me. You know, that was really hard. And yet, as I began to walk with her through her illness, she became the true loving nature that was always in her, that her friends always saw. I just got to see the other side. She became that 100%, which was just beautiful, because I really felt that it was the truth of her being. And she ultimately said everything to me that I ever wanted her to say. And it was an incredible healing. And as less of her was present, it required more of an act of service on my part and an act of love just to go sit with her. And I remember sitting, I moved her finally just about four blocks away from my home, and I'd go sit with all the the residents on the remembrance ward, you know, watching all these old movies, which I happen to love, so it was fine. But I would sit there holding her hand, and we would be, I realize now, we were in the eternal moment. Her life was off-ramping rapidly, you know. And yet I would sit with her in the eternal moment, and I'm still there with her. And it was such a profound healing. All there was love. There was nothing else that there could be. There was and it was ridiculous to carry on with all of the stories. Of what good were they? because they were just my experience anyway, the stuff that I made up about what happened. And so I say this to you just to know that healing is available. And there were so many times in the past when I would have considered that an unhealable relationship. I don't think there's really anything unhealable. I have come to that conclusion. Because everything is available to awareness of the eternal moment and to the presence of love. And love heals all wounds instantly if we can just get beyond the stories, if we can get beyond the conclusions, if we can get beyond being right, if we can get beyond, you know, whatever it is that we use to continue to separate. And you can't make anybody go there with you, but you can do your piece of it. You can play the game on your side of the net, and you can make sure that you go to the place where you want to go. I had plenty of time to do healing with my mom inside myself. It wasn't verbally with her. We didn't have any conversations about, you know what you did to me? We didn't do any of that. It was all in me appreciating how she was the perfect mother for me. It took a long time to get to that realization. Perfect. Perfect. And it's in that awareness of true oneness and the grand enactments of souls that I think that we can come to a place called love that is the eternal moment and be in a place that is so deeply forgiving that it's all just washed away. In fact, I was reminded of that Ricky Byers song, It All Fades Into God. I don't know if you know that song. It all fades into God, and it all fades into love. And that really is the truth, because love is the truth between souls. And if we could see at that level, that's really all that we would see. And so I want to invite you into a meditation. There is a beautiful teaching of the Christ principle that says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, and I will give freely to anyone who is athirst from the fountain of the water of life. And so I just invite you to close your eyes and breathe within and to know that you are the Alpha and the Omega of love. And if forgiveness is the beginning or the Alpha state of love, then gratitude is the ending or the Omega state of love. And if we aren't the Alpha and the Omega of love, who's going to be? Where else would it happen but right here? Because we all stand, all of us who are alive at this time, stand at the pinnacle of evolution and creation. And if love is to be, it will be with us. And so I invite you to breathe into your heart center and just ask your higher wisdom self there to guide you now. And just allow your higher wisdom self, your inner self, to bring up the face or the name of a person that it's choosing for you to do a little forgiveness work regarding. And see if you can put into just one or two words what it is that you need to forgive them for. Like what actually took place in time. I'll share with you, because I've been doing forgiveness work around my dad, too. My work said, I forgive my father for not providing for me. So I invite you to have a phrase in your mind of, I forgive the person's name for, what is it that you need to forgive them for? Just take a moment to feel the reality of what took place in time and how it exists for you now. Is it still living as a wound? Is it living as a story? Just what's the current reality for you about that? And just realize that it's all bound in time. But see if you can, out of an appreciation for the grand enactments of souls, to go to the timeless dimension, to the eternal moment, where souls engage for awakening and where it's all understood and maybe even planned from way before the beginning. And take a moment to see what you have learned and what you gained out of that very thing that needs to be forgiven. How did you grow? Who did you become out of what took place? And so let your awareness open to what there is to be grateful for. And maybe it's just that you learned how not to be. But find one thing of gratitude. And so silently to yourself, just say your phrase, I forgive, and the person's name for. And now say, I love him or I love her as I love myself. And just bend your head now, bow your head, symbolizing the head going below the heart. And just say to yourself, I am humility. And when we bow our heads below our hearts, it's like getting all of our thoughts below our awareness of oneness. It's getting all the story below the love that is the truth between souls. It is acknowledging that maybe we don't know absolutely everything about how and why, and yet somehow what took place got us here, and here is good. And so that's just a little forgiveness practice and a gratitude practice for you to practice yourself, if you choose. But let us remember together that streaming under all the events and all the things bound in time is the eternal moment. Ernest Holmes uses the phrase, the universe lies stretched in smiling repose. I love that. And so beyond the dimensions of space and time, there is just the one that is love. So take a nice deep breath and let your energy come up. And let's call it all good, for it certainly is all God. And so taking a nice deep breath, Dave Avani is going to sing another Ricky Byers song for us.